The iPod is welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of August 6th. I'm John Burke.
Okay, joining me once again, Carl Diorio. And Carl, first Saturday of the new season and group races over 1,200 metres in three states. So weather's still cold, but spring not all that far away.
That's right. The weather's a bit cold, as you say, but some nice horses reappearing. And it's just that real fine balance of picking out the race-fit horses up against those better-performed horses who may require a little bit more racing and a little bit time over ground. So it's just that really tricky balance to weigh up which of the two will win out.
All right, well, we'll start at Flemington, where the Group 3 race is Race 7, the Orry's Star Handicap over 1,200 metres. The other two group races this weekend are at Wait for Age. This one's a handicap. And when it comes to fit versus fresh, this has been a black type race for 11 years. And in five of those years, it's been won by a horse that's first up. And then I think it's never, in fact, been won by a horse that's second up. That is, the Orry's Star have been going for many years, but has only been as a black type race. Nothing's ever won it second up. Quite a few, I think, four had won it third up, one's won it fourth up, and one had had five runs in the campaign before winning this. So are you with fit or fresh in this race?
I'm with the fit. Root Tigger here, number 9. This horse has been consistent this campaign, and I think was a worthy winner of the All Victorian Sprint Series final last time back on July 9. Has been kept fresh for this race, but certainly does perform well on the fresh side and stays low in the weights, 54 kilos. Daniel Moore back aboard with Craig Williams holidaying at the moment after winning the premiership. So going with 9, Root Tigger on top from 7, Mr. Chard, who won the Orry Star in 2014, and then I've got in for third number 10 Magnus Rain, and fourth I've put in number 4 Mighty Light.
I've gone for number 2 Smart Volatility, impressive winning the Ramorny. I expect that to hold up quite well here. John Sargent won't be bringing Smart Volatility down for nothing, and is third up, which certainly fits with that pattern that I mentioned. The other pattern that certainly helps you, Carl, with Rutiger is that favourites have done very well in this race over the last 11 years. I think 5 or 6 favourites have won. No winner of this race in those 11 runnings at a price of greater than $10.
And I should correct myself, Mr. Shard ran second in this race in 2014. He didn't win.
Right, yeah. Yes. Tash B, fresh one for me for second, number 5. Mighty Like, which will have to overcome that second up curse, number 4 for third. And I did have Beirut for third. She may well be running in the spring stakes in SA, in which case I'll certainly put in number 9 Rutiger. Smart Volatility was my best at Flemington, and my value bet was the Tasmanian, race 6, number 15 Valiant Warrior, reunited with Anthony Darmanin, drawn it nice and wide down the straight 5 here, and thought could come good. Certainly showed a lot earlier in his career. Carl, what's your best and value bets?
Well, my best is Nimini Pimini in race 8, number 6. Just at a bit of a price. I think the last start run, the Leilani series final, wasn't all that bad behind Tilopia. I thought it was non-pacers race and she just got back and wasn't suited. The start before, she had to chase a genuine tempo, and that seemed to detract from her finishing berth. But I think Nimini Pimini, who won this race last year, can win in successive years. The other horse, I think, is worthy to note, the French horse in race 5, race 5, number 11, Pillow Desai. That horse is destined to be contesting better races in the year. I think he's going to be aimed at the Toorak and the Longines Mile. He's got great French form lines, and he really won easily at Bendigo first up. The key to him, he doesn't have much of a turn of foot, but what he does possess is the ability to quicken off a strong tempo, and he just needs Majestic Duke, Sadaka, and a few others to roll along in the lead, and under those circumstances, he'll be finishing strong. The only other one I'll mention is race 9, number 13, Orient Line, also accepted for Sunday at Sandown. Wherever it runs, it's going to run a heck of a race first up.
Okay, Royal Randwick is the venue for Sydney racing on Saturday, and in prestige terms, the most prestigious race around the country on Saturday, because it's a Group 2, And look, it's good to see a stakes race named after one of Melbourne's late great former gangsters in Mark Moran. It's the Mark Moran, or it could be Mark Moran Missile Stakes. I don't think it is the named after that particular Mark Moran. 1,200 metres standard weight for age. Now, this is the one out of these three races on Saturday where the first uppers have really had the advantage over the years. I think 14 out of the past 19 years, this has been won by a returning horse. That would certainly be expected to happen again. It's a fairly thin... Rebel Dane's a very good horse, but it's a fairly thin seven-horse field here. We have the Golden Slipper winner returning. The Golden Slipper winner returned in 1997 and won this race. That was Guineas. And another Golden Slipper in Dance Hero won it, but that was won it the following season, in fact, as a rising four-year-old. But three-year-olds do have a reasonable record in this race. Only 19 of them have contested it, and that's including three-year-olds and also late-season two-year-olds when the race has been run in July. And three of them are won, so three out of 19. That's a reasonable strike rate. Most of those are not as talented an animal as Capitalist, the Golden Slipper winner. My only query with Capitalist, Carl, I guess, would be just how bottomless is this track going to be if indeed the meeting goes ahead. Heavy eight in your winning post, but forecast not great.
Yeah, that's right. And in reality, Randwick doesn't really train that well. It's a bit of a sponge. It's probably one of the more testing heavy tracks in Australia. So perhaps that might find out Capitalist hasn't seen a rain-affected track. Although it must be said, with 51.5 kilos, it's going to be carrying 5 kilos less than any other runner in the field. It's going to be just off the speed, you'd think, from barrier three, if not setting the speed, with plenty of the opposition liking to settle in the second half of the field, generally speaking. So Capitalist might just be able to dictate and win easy, and I think it'll definitely be the latter. I think it's odds on and probably not a betting proposition, but I think it's certainly the one to beat. Great race and trial, and should be winning from number two, which is General Lefo. Another one to trial quite well leading into this. Third number one, Rebel Dane. Nothing wrong with its recent trial. Placed three or four over this track and distance. Probably in the twilight of his career now. And for fourth, number five, wouldn't it be nice if we found the line nicely in the July sprint?
The other black type race at Randwick on Saturday is race six, the Randwick City Council Rosebud. 1,200 metres for three-year-olds, Carl.
You wouldn't see a horse trial better leading into a first-up run than Mediterranean. Possibly, maybe 6 months ago, Exosphere. But the trials of Mediterranean in winning those two times in June were just so impressive. And his first-up victory at Canterbury was sensational as well. He beat nothing, but he beat them well. And I think he's the one to beat in the Rosebud. He's won on heavy ground, obviously, last time at Canterbury, but it's going to be a different sort of heavy track at Randwick. That's the query, but he's got plenty of class, and he might be the one to beat on Golden Rose Day. Got him on top from four hair trigger, looms is the main danger, gets back, runs on hard. Great run against the pattern of the day at Canterbury last time. Third number two, Thorum. This horse led throughout two starts going a heavy track at Randwick, so it's going to be the one up on the speed that they'll have to run down. And for fourth, I'll put in number one, Quick Feet, who... recent trials have been okay, and has shown glimpses of ability, but on the big day, in Group 2s and Group 1s, hasn't quite fired. But I've gone 3, 4, 2 and 1 in Race 6.
Race 7 sees your best of the day come up at quite a nice price indeed, marked at $8.50 in your winning post.
Yeah, Jubine style, this will be his 10th run this campaign. He hasn't won a race yet. I've been buttering up each time, so... he probably owes me, and I'm probably chasing, but there's been nothing wrong with his recent efforts. He's had excuses beyond his control on many times. He was poleaxed 200 metres out from the finish last time, and he was only beaten less than a length from Dark Eyes. Start before that, he was beaten ahead by the informed Saboric. Bumped into Super Tycoon before that. There's nothing wrong with how he's performing, and I really do feel with 54 kilos on his back, 2.5 kilos less than the nearest rival in the field, I think Jubine style can get the job done. So he's the best, and the value bet comes up in the last. It's Wudong Mountain. This horse is first up from a spell. The only run last campaign saw him bleed, and as a result incurred a 3-month ban. His form prior as a entire, before he was gelded, was quite sound, And his recent trial leading into this first up run suggests that he will be able to sprint well fresh over 1200. So Wudong Man, around about $12, is definitely worth an each way bet.
At Morfordville, racing on the course proper for the Group 3 David R. Coles AM Spring Stakes. 1200 metres at set weight for age. And a bit of a mix in the fresh versus fit stakes in this race. I think, I can't exactly remember, but it was roughly even Stevens, but there are quite a few. In fact, I think it might have been three out of the last 10 only had been first up. And indeed, there's only Tash B, also an acceptor at Flemington, and Rocket Commander, who are first up in this race. Oh, and Gambling Guru. Some of the winners have had... there was a winner a few years back who had 28 starts in the lead up to this race. El Mays had been racing for more than a year, and last year's winner I think might have had 14 starts. Yes, indeed. So really, they can come from anywhere, and you've got one that should have a reasonable amount of residual race fitness.
That's right. It started among the chances in the Goodwood. And I speak of Sabug. It was a 16-1 chance in the Goodwood and finished midfield. It was a bit inconclusive that run. Two efforts since, back in three-year-old grade, been quite strong. He's a bit of an enigma. Certainly on his Euclides run four starts ago over this track and distance, he'll be winning this race quite easily. But he does find a way to get beaten. I do think he is over the odds around about 460, 480. I expected him to be much shorter, around about 280, 290. But I guess his perhaps reputation as a bit of a non-winner, even with Darren Weir, is probably allowing the price to be inflated a bit. So I've got Sabug, number 7 on top, from Cavaloce. That horse is 2 from 2 since joining Will Clarkin, heading towards the Balaclava Cup. Third, number 11, Beirut, and fourth, number 2, Raziz, who is another one at the end of his career, closer to the end of it than the start of it, that's for sure. And he has run a couple of nice races in the Spring Stakes previously.
Your best comes up in the sixth, and again, it is a nice little spoil odds-wise. Marked at $10 in your winning post, Emily Finnegan will have to negotiate the outside barrier. I speak of number 5, Babitzin.
Yeah, Babitzin on top for me. It's a back marker. It closes strongly in most races he contests. I thought he should have finished much closer last time, over 1,050 behind War Thunder. It was a really nice second, first up behind Urban Bourbon. So I think that's the way to go in the sixth race. And then the value bet comes up in the last race, and that is a horse called Dark Image. Now, he's got plenty of ability, but he's got a bit of a mind of his own when he wants to show it. Mildura, just the pattern of the day was against, and I think that was just a bit of a fitness run. He'll certainly take a bit of benefit out of that run. It's a big field, but not overly strong. I think he's well weighted, and certainly on his three-year-old performances when placed multiple times in town, Dark Image can figure in the finish at a nice price.
In Brisbane, they're racing at Eagle Farm, where you feel that the very consistent Charcuterie, race 4, number 5, can break through over 2,200 metres.
Yeah, I thought it was a terrific run at 2,000 metres last time. That was first 2,000 metre run, in finishing third behind In the Jeans. Steps out to the 2,200 metres now, but on that last start effort, the extra distance shouldn't be an issue, and if anything, should be in its favour to allow him to get the on-paces just with enough time. So, Charcuterie on top for me is the best bet, and the value bet for me is La Spiaggia, which is race 7, number 11. Fitter for the two runs this campaign. I thought the last start effort at the Sunshine Coast was good after covering plenty of extra ground from the wide barrier. Big field and draws wide again, but hopefully might just slot in, and it doesn't look to be too much pace in the race, and under those circumstances, La Spiaggia should be in the finish.
At Perth, we're still at Belmont. In Perth, I should say, we're still at Belmont. And we save the best to last, Carl, and that is at 6:05 Eastern Time for number 3, Present Arms.
Present Arms backs up after finishing fourth last week. Willie Pike jumps aboard. Should get a nice run from Barrier 9. And there's certainly a few horses in this race battling for form down at the bottom of the weights, and that's what made me think that Present Arms, just race fit up to the 2100, might just be able to get away with this race. And the value bet, race 6, number 3, Lenience. Now, this horse won on debut as a 2-year-old, one of the first winners for his sire, Dame Hill Express. And it's been a bit of a mainstay in Western Australia, always thereabouts. He resumes with a nice trial victory recently at Belmont. I think he's ready to run the Knights race as well, over 1,200 metres first up. A bit of depth to it. I think the likes of Secret Nova, Chasing Chaos and Spin the Wheels can certainly push it. But I've got Lenience on top in race 6.
Obviously, you were never in the cadets, Carl, because that horse in race 8 is definitely Present Arms.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a command.
Oh, okay.
it could be by commands, for all I know. Ruakaka and Riccarton Park are the venues earlier in the day for New Zealand racing, and you've done a fair bit of research on this, and the listeners will be able to glean the benefits of same by buying Winning Post this week and checking out all the plans of the Kiwi trainers for their cross-Tasman raids this spring. And indeed, a lot of those horses are stepping out at Ruakaka on Saturday.
That's right, and probably the one to look out for most is race 3, number 1, Mongolian Falcon. I've made it my best bet, so you can blame the stable for leading you astray, because they gave a very, very strong push for this horse. They suggested that he's their Caulfield Guineas and Victoria Derby aspirant. They don't know what stage of the campaign he'll come to Australia, but he'll definitely be coming. That he's got plenty of ability, and this looks a nice starting point for him over 1,000 metres. Obviously short of his best trip, but there's not a great deal of depth for the race.
Geez, there wouldn't be too many Victoria Derby winners who have won over 1,000 metres earlier in the campaign.
No, that's the thing, but it might just be used as a trial. He does show a lot of tactical speed, which has me rather intrigued, but look, I guess Donald Logan and Chris Gibbs, they know what they're doing. Interesting there, the horse number 4, Matt, how would you say that horse barks?
Methusalem.
Methusalem. That horse is a brother of Marwood, last week's winner at Flemington. So he might be one to look out for as well. But Mongolian Falcon on top of me. And the value bet comes up in race 7. That's number 6, Cambridge. Also for Donald Logan and Chris Gibbs. Quite a good home track performer over the mile. But the feature race in the day is the Open Handicap over 1,200 metres. Definitely keep an eye out for Ryan Mark, the Railway Stakes winner, looking to win first up before heading towards the Matthew Challenge in 4 weeks' time.
Alrighty, that takes care of Saturday around Australia, a huge day of racing around Australasia. And speaking of huge days, the Grand National Hurdle returns to the city this year, and that is on Sunday at Ladbrokes Park, Sandown Lakeside. Race 4 is the Grand National Hurdle, race 3, the Crisp Steeplechase. And what are your thoughts on these, Carl?
I think Sea King's going to be awfully tough to beat in the Crisp Steeplechase. He's really set himself as the benchmark. I think Wells is the danger. And you've got to really like this horse, Lucky Tonight. I think he's a bit of a one-pacer, a bit of a grinder, but he'll stay the 3,900. So they, for me, look the trifecta there. And in the Grand National Hurdle, Ginger Boy for mine, I think his performances on the flat really do stand out, and he's obviously going to be ultra-competitive. Archfire, you know, lost the rider there in the Brendan Dreschler, but I'm sure that if he stands up and keeps the rider on his back, he'll be in the finish. And King of Dudes last year won the Grand National Hurdle, I believe, so you certainly got to respect his chances in the race.
All right, well, that leaves us only to remind you to pick up your Winning Post if you haven't already. You've got all the form for Friday, Saturday and Sunday, as well as all your favourite features. And finally, our best $20 bet for the weekend. I am going to go with Flemington, race 7, number 2, Smart Volatility.
And I'll go Flemington, race 9, number 13, Orient Line, 10 each way at the big price.
All right, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. We'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.